All right, everybody, are we having a great time? Let's give a hand to our DJ. Okay, he's playing some great music, and I have a secret. He played at our wedding, and he also played for my husband's 60th, and he is the one we thought of, and here he is. So I'm very, very happy that he's here tonight. All right.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. I want to give a thanks for all of the people who are doing the slide work and the audio. They're doing a lot of work behind the scenes, so let's give it up for them. All right. Well, have you enjoyed the speakers up until now? As I said, we have a diverse group of speakers. We've had them diverse in age and geographic diversity. Our next speaker is from Colorado. Let's give it up a large hand for Lorraine. Take it away, Lorraine.
Hi, I'm Lorraine, compulsive eater. This is a hard act to follow after the DJ and everybody getting out there to dance, I'll tell you. I've been abstinent since June 22nd, 2008. I have been in the program since November of 2005. I'm maintaining an 88-pound weight loss with the program. 98 pounds altogether. Thank you. I brought pictures, and they're in the room somewhere, so you'll have to figure it out yourself. I didn't know what to speak about tonight, and somebody said, well, just tell your story. So I'm going to tell you my story. When I was growing up, my father always used to say, if you cannot do a speech or teach someone something in 8 minutes, then you don't know what you're talking about. And I was told I have 20 minutes tonight, so I hope that I can tell you what I'm talking about. I have 30 minutes? Oh, good Lord, you're going to get to dance tonight. I thought of the theme, the joy of living, and it has been through this wonderful program that I've been able to really appreciate it. I'll tell you my story briefly. There's been a lot of challenges in my life, as there has been in everyone else's life. We all have things. We all have occasions, the occurrences in our life, and, you know, I have my share. And the program has given me the one thing that was the hardest for me to ever introduce myself as. One of the first meetings that I went to, people would introduce themselves, and they would say, I am so-and-so, a grateful, compulsive eater. And I would say to myself, how can you be grateful for this? You know, I came broken, I came obese, and I'm supposed to be grateful for this, you know? And I just couldn't figure that one out. So I go in, I go into many programs like most of us, and I have spent lots and lots of money, like many of us have. And I used to make the joke that if my husband knew how much that last program that I had gotten my weight off with, he would have not been happy. You know, a divorce lawyer would have cost less, probably. And this particular program I went into, you know, they told you what you could eat and what you couldn't eat, kind of, sort of. And you'd go in and you'd have a comment or a complaint or a concern, and they always had something to fix it with. And it always cost money, and it was always something, you know, a pill or a protein or something like that. And they were always 22-year-old, 98-pound girls trying to tell me how to lose weight. And I lost some weight because I was bound and determined to do that, but it wasn't even 6 months when I gained it all back again. And that was my MO. I could lose the weight, but it found me. It found me. And where I taught, there were a couple of people that were kind of with me on this. And one person said, you know, if you think you need some help and support, I know a place where we can go, and I know something that can help you with. And, you know, being the confident person that I am, I said, oh, thank you, but I'm happy with the way I am right now. You know, I'm good. And less than 6 months later, I went to her and I said, you know what, you said you had something that can help support me in this weight loss stuff. And I said, you know, I think I'm interested. And she said, I'll pick you up Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. That's all she said. So two very dear friends of mine came and picked me up, and I had no idea what I was in for. They didn't say a word. And so we went to a meeting, a 12-step meeting. And I had never been in a 12-step meeting situation. I didn't know anything about it. You know, I knew that there was AA, and that's all I really knew. So I'm sitting in this meeting, and I'm thinking, what could they possibly have for me? And I came in pretty open-minded, and it was on the 11th step, and they did the 11th step prayer. I have that in a picture frame in my house. I've had it forever. And I said, ooh, maybe I need to be here. And then a couple of other people started telling their story, and I am thinking, just like many of us have during meetings, when did you know my story? How do you know this? You know, it was my story with a different face talking. And I thought, okay, I need to do this. So I went to one of the first See How meetings that we had just a couple of months later. And there was a member there, and he's, you know, we went through it all. And then he looked at me and he said, you know, you'll never be the same. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, what does this mean, you know? And then they say, get a sponsor. And so I get my sponsor. And she says, I can only be your temporary sponsor. I'm really busy. And she was. It was real. And she says, so I want you to look, and I want you to find someone that you think they have what you have, what you want, and they can be your sponsor. And she hands me this gray book, and she says, you read it from cover to cover. And I look at the title of the book, and it says, Forever Abstinent. And so I'm thinking to myself, I'll never be the same, and I'm forever abstinent. I wanted to run out of that room so fast. But I stayed, and I'm really glad that I did. During that time, for about 10 years before that, my husband had been diagnosed with a degenerative disease, and every day something, he would lose something else, you know, some sort of physical ability or something like that. And so we were dealing with a chronic illness. And I'm trying to go to my See How meetings, and I'm trying to lose my weight, and I'm trying to get better. And sometimes it was a little rough, but I kept it up. And I think the best part of what See How has given me was not only the clarity of mind that you get after you go through your steps and you work with your sponsor and you lose your weight, but it really was able to give me the strength that I needed to be the person that I needed to be for my husband and everyone else in my family. And I know that my husband noticed the difference too, and it made a big difference. So the last 10 years of his life, I was in program, I was abstinent, and I was able to be the wife and the caregiver that he needed, and I was able to do the other things in our lives that we needed to do. The most beautiful joy of living that I had through this program, through all of this, was after I did my fourth step, and then the fifth step, and then you do your character defects, and oh my God, I'm looking at myself and what I was. You know, I thought I was a really nice person, and I thought it was okay. Well, no, I was an overreactive person. I was an impulsive person, and I was also pretty controlling. I'm the oldest of five kids in the family. I learned how to be the boss. It was important, you know, that my brothers and sisters knew what they should be doing right. Well, I carried that all the way through. But the part of the program that I think that just gave me my life back was not only just making the amends with my husband, but with really going through the step of amends. I'm one of the few people that can really say, I got a do-over, you know? The program gave me a do-over with my husband. And so in the last 10 years or so of his life, he had an abstinent wife. He had someone who used my program to help my marriage and to be a caregiver to someone. And to me, I have that joy in my heart. And I don't have regrets that I could have had. If I had kept on the road that I was going, I was the victim, you know, I was the martyr, and I was taking care of things. But through program and through abstinence and my higher power, I was able to be someone of service to my husband and everybody else that was around me. And those are the kinds of things that the program has given me, is the ability to take care of life in a good way and to be of service to other people. And it brought the steps and the tools. It really, I live them, and it helps me to live them, you know. There's a lot of other fun things that have happened. It hasn't all been, you know, those kinds of challenges, but before program, you know, I would eat whether I was happy or sad or angry or you name it. I had that reason to eat it. And, you know, we say that we don't have this off switch or that we don't know what our boundaries were. I knew what my boundaries were. If I bought this big tub of something and I ate the whole thing, that was my boundary. You know, I had no problem with that. But the things that I remember in my full eating days was even causing arguments within the family if we didn't go to the restaurant I wanted to go to, or causing an angry situation so people would go away so that I could go eat, you know. The kitchen and everything was my favorite place in the whole world, and now, you know, it's a utility room. You know, I use it for what I need it for, and I don't care anymore, and I'm really happy about that. My higher power in the program has given me that freedom. There is so much freedom. We worry about eating our food. We worry about getting enough. We worry about how we're going to travel with it. We worry about this and all that. You know, I don't worry about that anymore. And I have such a freedom. And the boundaries that I have within my program keeps me free to actually live my life. And I am just so happy with being able to live my life. And I can do what I want to do. I travel. I do, you know, everything I need. When I was pretty new in the program, I joined the program in November, and the next November, I was still brand new. Never mind, it was that November. That Thanksgiving, my son went to Iraq, and he is married, and he has three children, my three grandchildren. And at that time, when he went to Iraq, the oldest grandchild was 7 or 8 years old, and the youngest one was about 3. Well, my daughter-in-law's from Oklahoma. And so we leave sunny Colorado to go to sunnier Oklahoma for Thanksgiving so that we can have Thanksgiving with her family. And we're having a wonderful time, and I brought my abstinent food. And I'm trying really hard because her family, they're Native American. And boy, they don't celebrate Thanksgiving the way we do. But they celebrate family and get-togethers, and there was like 50 people in this house, and they brought the best food on the planet, and I'm eating my abstinent food, you know, and I'm trying to explain it, and they don't care. They were just so happy we were there, and their hospitality was just amazing, and it was one of the, even though we missed my son, it was one of the best Thanksgivings I've ever had, because it was the true family, happy to be together. I mean, there were little kids running all over the place. There were teenage kids acting too cool, and they wanted to listen to their stuff, you know. And all of the adults, we were all talking and just having a great time, and there wasn't a TV in the room. Now, I don't know if some of you who are football fans can't appreciate this, but those of us who aren't football fans, I was so grateful I thought, we get to talk, you know, and we really had a good time. Well, we were supposed to leave on that Saturday morning, and my daughter-in-law, she was kind of dragging her feet because it was her family, and she didn't really want to leave yet, and I didn't care. And then the weather started to turn on us. Well, we left, and before we got to the end of Goodland, Kansas, it was so bad, they closed the highway, period. Well, I thought we were going to make it home. And so I thought, you know, okay, the kids are really little. I need to make sure we've got water. I need to make sure we got food for them, et cetera, et cetera. So we stopped at Walmart, and we went in there, and we got the stuff for the kids, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is what I need to get. So I got bags of carrots, and I got cheese sticks, and I can't remember what else I got, but I was still on my first 30 days, so I didn't need that much. So I got the things, boxes of Triscuits, that's what it was. Anyway, I got that, and I got the food for the kids, and then we tried to go to these different hotels. They had already been closed, or full. I mean, they didn't close to people, I don't mean that, but there were people, you know, sleeping in the hallways and things like that. So we drove a little bit further in Goodland. We couldn't leave Goodland. We had to stay in the town. And it was a rental car, and we got stuck in a ditch. And these wonderful men in a Jeep came by, and the National Reserve, they have a place right there in Goodland, Kansas. They took the you know, winch or whatever you call it, and they got us out of the ditch, and they took us to the reserve center. We spent 2 nights and 3 days in that reserve center. The weather was so bad. I stayed abstinent. It took me about 6 months to eat another carrot. But you know, when you're new enough in that program, at least I was so naive, I thought I could do it. You know, just go buy the stuff. And it did. It worked. And I think of that with fondness because, you know, kids are amazing. And all these little kids who didn't know each other, and they were all from all different parts of the country because we were all on the road traveling, they found each other, and they found a room, and they played the whole time. And we adults started talking, and we were playing cards, and we were doing all kinds of things. And then the Red Cross, or whoever it was, came in with all the food to help people. And, of course, there wasn't a single thing I could have. So I was really glad I was able to pre-plan that. You know, that was my higher power. That was not me. So I was able to go through that. And during that time, like I said, I had just started See How, and my son had gone to Iraq about 6 or 8 months beforehand. And so when he came home, I was not his mother. You know, I was more than 88 pounds less than what he left. And it was really hard for him. You know, he came back with all the stuff that you come back when you come back from Iraq. You know, there's a lot of things that you have to deal with. And I didn't help, I guess. But I was grateful for the program. You know, I was still new enough in the program. I'd only been in for about 2 years. But I was so grateful for the program because I was clear enough. I had my sponsor, I had my higher power, and I had my tools, and I was able to help him get through some things as well. You know, if I was into the food, I wouldn't have known what to do. You know, I wouldn't have been able to be helpful. It just would have been different. And I just am grateful for that. Another time that was kind of special too is, you know, I had mentioned, well, I don't know if I've mentioned it, but I did lose my husband 7 years ago. But it was one of those things, like I said, through the program and my higher power, I had a do-over. We were able to really make the amends, or I was able to make the amends of what I had to make amends with, you know, and we had a good relationship. But after the funeral, you know, you go over to the church hall and they provide a lunch. And A good friend of mine who was in the program at the time, she said, would you please give me your menu plan, or, you know, your food? And so I did. And I'm sitting there at the funeral lunch, and I'm doing all the things you have to do. And this beautiful woman came out, and she presented me with my lunch. And it was my abstinent lunch. I mean, it still brings tears to my eyes because that's the kind of woman she is. But, you know, it's amazing. Even through the rough times, people support you. And you're able to keep your abstinence. You know, there was no question on my part that I wasn't eating the correct stuff. She was in program. She asked me what I ate, and I had my abstinent lunch. And it was one of those things that if it wasn't for my See How family, it would have been rough. And you know, I still made my meat. In fact, it wasn't too long into the program, and I came home from a meeting one time, and my husband said, you know, do you think you're cured yet? And I said, oh, no. I says, I still need it. He says, well, you've been to over 500 meetings. And I said, yeah. I said, well, I got to go to 3 meetings a week, you know. And so if you count this up in your head, that wasn't even a whole year's worth of meetings. But he says, well, after 500 meetings, I would think you'd get it. And I says, no, I do get it. That's why I keep going back to my meetings. and another time, some friends in our program, they had children, young children, and then my grandchildren were the same age. And we decided to go to the city pool and go swimming. So we went swimming, and we're sitting at the picnic table, and we're getting out the food for the kids, and we're sitting there. And my oldest grandson, who might have been 8 or 10 at the time, he looked at one of the other girls, and he looked at another girl, and he looked at me, and he goes, do they go to the same food club you go to? And I said, yes, but I'm not supposed to tell you that. But it has gotten to be that everybody knows what I do, and my sisters don't even usually have to ask me anymore what they need to have ready for me when we have family dinners and stuff. You know, sometimes they have to ask me because I have to tweak something, or, you know, a grain or something like that. But it's just an everyday thing now, and they accept it, and I'm grateful for that. But, you know, I had to be kind of... they were all accepting. I never had to fight my way through it, but I had to be stubborn to make sure that it was available to me. But I was always able to bring my own food. I went to a piano recital for a nephew one time, and it was Dvorak and dessert or something like that. And they were going to provide dinner and then, of course, have you fundraising for the stuff after dinner. Well, I took mine in my little lunch bucket. You know, I'm a retired teacher, and so I knew how to pack my lunch and take it to school. So I had my little dinner there, you know, and I'm sitting there, and I'm putting it on the plate on the table, and I learned, your dinner tastes wonderful no matter what you have to eat if you put it on a plate. You know, put it on a beautiful plate. You deserve it. So that's what I was doing while everybody was going through the line getting the very non-abstinent food. And this one little kid walked by, and he looked at his mom, and he goes, why can't I have what she's got? And his mom said, well, because this is what we brought. And I mentioned it in the workshop, so for those of you that were at the workshop, I apologize for repeating myself. But my daughter and I went to Ireland for my 60th birthday, and that was one of my bucket list things, you know. And we went through the tour through one of the castles, and it was a great dinner thing, and, you know, the authentic music and all the stuff that we go to Ireland for, right? And I had told the tour guide ahead of time that I had some meal restrictions, and could I have, you know, very, very plain meat and vegetables kind of thing, you know? And he said, sure, no problem. So I get there. Well, the chef didn't quite understand what I was supposed to have, And he was really nice about it, and I told him what I needed, you know, and I felt bad, and I was mentally preparing to have dinner at midnight, you know, in my own hotel room kind of thing. And I'm sitting there, and he comes out and he brings this beautiful plate. It's exactly what I needed, but he's, you know, most chefs are artists, and the presentation of the plate was amazing. It was beautiful. And so I thought, you know, I felt very special. And, you know, if you ask someone, it kind of challenges them to do something different. So make a chef's day. You know, say, this is what I need. What can I have, you know? And you'd be amazed the beautiful things that you have, you know. I'm getting a five-minute warning, which is good. I've got thousands of things to say and nothing to say. It's kind of wonderful. I just want to say how beautiful it is to be here, and what an honor it was to ask me to speak. I hope that you guys were able to stay awake. I retired last year, and I have learned a whole new level of freedom, let me tell you. I recommend it to everybody. In fact, staying abstinent is even easier, you know. It's a lot easier. I used to get all my food ready on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon and pack it away so that no matter what happened to me during the week, all I did is grab Tuesday or grab Wednesday, you know, and it was real easy. And I learned a lot of little tricks, and my Friday food was just as fresh as my Monday food because I learned what to put in and what not to put in the Tupperware, you know. And it was an amazing thing. There was even some people in the school where I taught where they started when they had the luncheons and all the stuff that, you know, teachers have. Schools are grazing grounds. You know, that's why I gained all my weight. All these wonderful parents would bring us all these things, you know. Oh, it's Christmas time, you need this. Oh, it's testing time, you need this. And, of course, it was all the wrong stuff. But they even started providing a lot of things for many of us to have the right kind of food. So I didn't have to keep bringing my own lunch when we had like faculty lunches anymore, because they had what we needed, and it was just great, and they just did it. It was an automatic thing, and I was really grateful for that. You know, we just have to ask what we need, and this program just, it gives us our life back, and I'm so grateful for that, because I got my life back. I wasn't this grumpy, overweight, depressed woman who stayed at home. I'm never home anymore. It's great. So thank you.